This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Mark Gastineau. You're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on Friday, May 14th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half, your responsibility, and we're all in three completely different places, three completely different states. Don's in his home in Jersey. I'm here at Yankee Stadium, and Peter is in Miami, but we're ready to roll. We're ready to rock. We have things to do. We have things to talk about. And a bonus Don show today at 6:30 until 7. A bonus.
You know,
what a way to lead into the weekend, you know?
I heard yesterday that there was another Don and Dick show.
Yes.
He called in again.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm a little upset because I tried to go on our stream, and of course, I was just inundated with like four straight Jay Williams commercials, and I didn't get to hear Don and Dick. Did he get his theme song again, Don?
Oh, yeah, and was completely oblivious that he got it. He just went right to his point.
So now, you can see, Peter, he does not like the two of us because the only time he calls in now is to talk with Don alone on the Don Show.
No, but I think Peter will agree, whatever Richard does, whether his phone privileges happen after 6:30 or he's got a job, is that it was always very late in the K show. So it was always when you were doing a Yankee game, right, Peter, or the Don show. I just don't think he's available to call before 6:30.
Gotcha.
I think he's right. And yesterday we had a very troubling end to our show where I wanted to tell one thing about Don and Dick. And let's just go back to the end of yesterday's show.
This was rough.
Michael, can I add one thing before we go to the Don show?
Sure.
Andrew really thought we undersold just how good it was when the Don and Dick show happened the other night.
I don't think we did. See everybody. Don show next.
Well, what the hell?
There's a clock on the board.
Do you see the clock?
Yeah, but we were going into it.
Hold on, Don, you know what this means? It means that Michael K. is Ron Burgundy. He has to follow the clock. We didn't have a hard out. What was coming up next was the Don show.
Right, if we were going into Nick coverage.
The clock says this is when it hits zero, you get out. I hit the post.
Yeah,
that's what the DJ does.
But you're intelligent enough to know when we're leading into a local show.
Then why did Anthony have the clock up?
Well, because I think it's a good habit to get into for Anthony, because a lot of times we are leading into Nick's pregame or the great Brewer Pirate game, where you have no choice but to get out at a certain time. But you knew it was the Don show. You were promoting it.
But
I
you realize also
30
I,
seconds for quality radio.
But I don't know if it's quality radio. Sometimes Peter blathers on. I got to go to the next job. I got to get the handoff.
Well, that's
and
what
run.
It's really about, is that you were anxious to go to your other job.
Not anxious. I have a responsibility to go to the other show.
Well, our out yesterday was Don. It was like 22. Sometimes
right.
Michael leaves at 27. So I knew we had a minute to play with. And to make a short story long, Andrew just told me, Don, that the other day when the Don and Dick show happened, he said you really can't undersell how incredible it is that Richard from Manhattan calls, starts talking, you say, hold on one second. You play him his own 40-second theme song. It ends, and there's zero acknowledgement.
Zero.
He just plows right on.
I want to hear it, but I don't want to hear the whole introduction. But if there's a way to just catch the end of the song and then him just plowing
at the
forward.
Bottom. All right. So Andrew says we have a short one on the screen at the bottom.
All right,
is it
go.
In blue? Okay. Here we go.
It's the Don and Dick show.
Oh, no, that's the whole thing. Oh, it's the end.
What can you say?
What's up, Richard?
Don, you know, we're always talking about strikeouts in baseball games. I don't have the answer, but maybe one of you guys can look it up. When was the last.
That would be like Carson coming out after and not even acknowledging Doc Severinsen. He didn't even acknowledge Doc Severinsen.
He did not. And you realize how funny it is? Griffin called the other day and may have gotten himself permanently banned because he asked for a theme song.
Right.
Meanwhile, Richard Manhattan is a full produced one, has no interest in it
no
whatsoever.
Interest.
It
just
well, here was the other
point.
Day. With, Which was, let's see how he reacted the other day.
Dick Show. What can you say?
Richard.
How are you, buddy? Oh, very good. Don, can you imagine how the city is going to go crazy if not only the Knicks, if they can win their first round and do pretty well?
I told you it was good stuff, Michael. I wasn't wasting time.
Yeah, but that would have dragged me right into first pitch because you don't tell a short story.
I try.
No, you don't. You have a drone DNA.
It was
DNA.
Quality, though.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
And, Michael, if you ever feel like you got a ditch, we could finish up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
Well, in order for Peter to finish his point, yeah.
Well, you mean to not have me get just embarrassed in front of the Tri-State like that? I mean, it was troubling.
You cursed at the end. Who do you think you are cursed at the end?
Do you consider H-E double hockey sticks a curse?
Yeah. In my house, it is. We don't say it. Do you say that word in your house, Don, in front of the kids?
No, not in front of the kids, but on the air, you could say it.
No, if you can't say it in front of your kids, there's kids in the car.
Wait, so you want our whole show to be geared towards the sensibilities of Charlie and Callie?
No. I do, as a parent now, realize that mom or dad could have the kids in the car listening to the show, and if we go off-brand, the kids all of a sudden go off-brand.
You know, it's something to think about, and I'm going to keep that in mind.
Good. Yankees had a distressing loss last night, and I'll tell you why as we go to Diamond Notes on the Michael K Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. They lost 10-1. All right, so Tyone didn't pitch that well, and you know, you're going to lose games, and they've won series. They have not lost a series in their last seven. That's the most important thing. But I will tell you this. If they don't start hitting, they're not winning. Because I've said from the very beginning, they're going to win because they're just going to outscore everybody. And they're going to out-homer everybody. I never even took into account that they'd out-pitch everybody, which is exactly what they've done. And in the 21 games before yesterday, they were quality start after quality start. And Tyone made a couple of bad pitches, gave up 4 runs in 4 2/3 innings. Yankees never had a chance. And why they don't have a chance, I'm going to give you the bottom of the order yesterday, okay? Gary Sanchez came into the game hitting 178. He's batting fifth. Mike Ford hitting 103, batting sixth. Clint Frazier hitting 146, batting seventh. Miguel Andujar hitting 0, batting 8. Now, he was 0 for 9, but he was 0 for 4 yesterday, so he's 0 for 13. And Brett Gardner, who was 0 for 2 last night, came in hitting 188. That's, in a word, troubling. Now, who's turning it around exactly? Now, Gary Sanchez did have 2 doubles yesterday. No, a single and a double and a walk, and he struck out one. So you take that. He's 3. He's 2 for 3. That's great. You're going to keep that up. We'll see. Mike Ford, who a couple of years ago looked great, last year didn't look good, is now 2 for his last 27. Clint Frazier is 0 for 3 yesterday with a walk, and he's 6 for 38. Miguel Andujar is 0 for 13. Brett Gardner is 5 for 25. You can't keep rolling numbers up there like that and expect to win, because sooner or later, your pitchers are not going to be great. So Jameson Taillon was not great yesterday. Was he terrible? No. The old Yankees, could they have absorbed their starter giving up 4 runs in 5 innings? Of course. But you almost got the sense yesterday when Austin Meadows hit the 2-run home run in the 3rd inning. Whoa, trouble. You know why? Because they had won the previous 2 games scoring a total of 4 runs.
Yeah.
So, again, LeMahieu's going to hit. Stanton's going to do what Stanton does. Judge is starting to play better. Urshela was 1 for 4 yesterday. So he's reached base safely in 21 straight games. And Gleyber Torres was starting to feel it. But you can't have approximately half of your lineup be an automatic out.
No.
You can't give pitchers landing spots, Don, at 4 to 5 spots in your order. And I got to tell you, I don't know what to do. I don't know what they can do. How long do you go with Clint Frazier? And what's your option? Brett Gardner? Well, Brett Gardner's not hitting either.
No.
So what's your other option? Estevan Florial? I don't know where they go if these guys don't hit, Don. You can't make that many changes.
Well, you know, we've talked about it. Nobody's hitting in baseball. Plesac of the Indians had a no-hitter through 7 last night. All right. So, you know, nobody's hitting. So it's all relative, right? All right. So nobody's hitting, but where are the Yankees hitting while nobody else in the league is hitting? And here are the stats, Michael. Batting average, they're 24th in the league. RBIs, 25th. Runs scored, 24th. Their on-base percentage is good at 8, but their slugging is 20th, and their on-base plus slugging is 17th. The only thing they're good at is home runs. They're 4th in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not hitting. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position, and this is 37 games in. Now, 37 is not a season by any stretch, but I think it's
about 25%.
But it's enough of a sample to say, all right, this is a poor hitting team. So when it gets better, so is 24th in batting average going to move up to like 19th, 18th? It runs scored. Is it going to go from 24th to like 19th or 18th? Is that going to be good enough? Because you think the pitching is going to get worse, because I think it can, because we've been surprised. Pleasantly surprised on how good it's been outside of Cole. That nothing else was really expected. So if the hitting goes up, Michael, and the pitching goes down, you're still stuck in the same place you were. And a perfect example last night, and it just shows you the perception and the view of the Yankees. And maybe Peter knows how this works better than I do. It's 4-0 Yankees heading to the sixth. All right? I'm on BetMGM. Do you know Yankees to win? Was it plus 125? Like, so people still thought the Yankees were in it because that's the reputation of this offense, right? And then Judge gets a leadoff double to start the sixth. But guess what? They didn't score. They didn't bring him home. Right? So they're getting traffic, as they like to say. So that's why the on-base percentage is good. But, Michael, the perception is that this team's going to bash you over the head. They're not even close to doing that. And they're getting guys on base. Michael, when I thought that's normally, that's when the rally starts, right? Sixth inning, down 4-0. Judge leads off with a double. Now you get a couple of runs. You get them nervous. No. Their only real rally, Michael, was in the ninth, once they were already down 9-0.
Now, you mentioned the sixth inning, and there was a troubling aspect to the sixth inning as well, Don. So you've got Judge doubling. Then Urshela strikes out. Then Gary Sanchez hits one to the right side. They have the shift on, so the ball goes off the glove of Lau. Judge goes to third. Sanchez goes to first. So they're first and third, one man out. That's a pretty big spot in the game. Now, Rich Hill is 41 years old, and he was completely baffling the Yankees. And it's not just the Yankees. He's that guy, you know. Changes speeds, drops down, changes arm angles. Throws pitches in the 60s, then his fastball is 90. So there's a great variation of his stuff, and he's a wily veteran. I think that in the last 5 years, he has the eighth best ERA of starters in baseball. So he's not some schmo. He can pitch. And in the first two at-bats, he made Mike Ford look silly. He struck him out, and on the pitch that he struck him out on in the second inning, Ford missed the ball by 2.5 feet. And then he got him in on the hands, and Ford popped up to second. That was in the fourth. So now Ford's due up. Now, I question this only along these lines. I don't know if there's something wrong that they're not telling us. Okay, so let's use that as a caveat.
Okay.
Mike Ford's due up now. This is their chance to get back in the game, as Don said. And Aaron Boone sees what's going on in the field. Mike Ford has been overmatched since coming up this year. Now, he has a couple of home runs, but he's essentially been overmatched. He's not the same guy he was 2 years ago. I don't know why. You got Luke Voit on the bench. You have Luke Voit on the bench. So even if you have Luke Voit come up and they bring in a right-hander, so what? Luke Voit hits right-handers all the time. Mike Ford was struggling against Rich Hill. He does not go to Luke Voit. So he stays with Mike Ford. So what does Mike Ford do? Hits into an inning-ending double play. And that's the game right there. The starch is out of the game right there. So when asked after the game about that, Aaron Boone said, well, this was a rest day for him, and I didn't want to use him there and then have him be in the field for 4 innings. Couple of things that are troubling there. And again, wow. The caveat is, I don't know if he's hurt. Now, he did have a vibration device on his back during the game, but at that point, he had not. So he's just saying he was available to pinch hit, but not at that point of the game. I didn't want to use him in the field for four innings. Now, if there's no injury there, that is unbelievable that the people that are in the player development or medical staff would say, you can pinch hit him, but he can't play in the field for very long. Let's say that they did say that, and Aaron Boone's following orders. Why wouldn't you pinch hit him there? Because he said, I'm waiting for later. Well, later never came. You were down 9-0. Later never came. So there was your spot. There was Yankees always talk about high leverage spots. There was your high leverage spot. Why can't you pinch hit Voit there? Let him get his swing, maybe hit a ball into the seats, make it 4-3. And then since he just can't spend four more innings on the field in his feet, I'll figure it out for everybody. You bring in Tyler Wade, you put Wade at second after he just pinch hit, and then you move LeMahieu to first. Problem solved. And you had a much better hitter up than Mike Ford has been. So, yeah, if you've been given orders by the staff that you can't use him in the field for half the game, okay, he just had knee surgery, I get it. And they always talk about the artificial turf of Tropicana Field. He plays first. It's dirt. It's not artificial turf. It's the same thing as Yankee Stadium. It's dirt. But again, if the orders are you can't, that's cool. But if you can use him as a pinch hitter, which you said you could, why not use him there, then bring in Wade to play second and LeMahieu to play first? So maybe things get better when Voit becomes, quote-unquote, an everyday player again, and Gleyber Torres is going to have to be out 10 days with the COVID-19 positive test, according to baseball's rules. Where's the hitting coming from? Where's the turnaround coming? Here was Aaron Boone yesterday at the game talking about the offense.
Kind of not everyone clicking at the same time. I feel like there are some guys that are having more quality at bats up and down, but you know, a few guys that are still scuffling to get it going. So as an offense, we're usually really strong when everyone's kind of grinding you down a little bit and a few guys still working hard to get clicking. And this is always a tough place to score runs. Obviously that's a team that's, you know, very good at the run prevention game. So hopefully we can start picking it up tomorrow.
Now, I mean, they have the great tonic today. They play the Orioles, and the Orioles have not won at Camden Yards, which is strange. I think like they're 4-13. They've been terrible at home, and the Yankees always hit well at home. But the guy that loves hitting at Camden Yards can't play Gleyber Torres. So, if they don't hit, they're not going to win. Everything that I've said has been predicated on them hitting, not pitching, hitting, bullpen, and hitting, not defense, hitting. But you know, you gave those numbers, Don. Especially the power numbers and the slugging numbers, which weren't that bad. How about you do this? Take out John Carlos Stanton. Well, where would those numbers be?
I know.
They're hitting .224 as a team that's tied for last with the Kansas City Royals. You can't sustain that. So I don't know if it's a fundamental flaw in the way they're built or if the guys are just going to have a lousy year. But Don mentioned the amount of games. So it's 162 games in a season. So when you get close to 40, I know Don's not great in math. Nope. That's close to 25% of the season that you've essentially urinated away as an offense. Mm. I'm sorry. You got to be better than this. There's no magic elixir. I don't know how to tell them to be better at it, and I don't know what moves they could make. Now, MLB.com is reporting that Trevor Story is going to be dealt before the end of the year, and Mark Feinstein was breaking down how the Yankees could get Trevor Story. And by the time they would get him at the trade deadline, he'd be owed about $6 million. Would that put them over the salary threshold? It probably does, but then they could make other moves to just clear a little room. So they could get him, but then you're probably making Luke Voit a bench player because Gleyber Torres is going to move to second, DJ LeMahieu is going to move to first, and Trevor Story is going to play short. And who are you going to have to give up for Trevor Story? And if you do that, and you're that close to the salary threshold, what else does that mean? That means that you're not going to get a pitcher. There's no pitcher that you could acquire then if you're going to be right up against .210.
And listen, don't have Story have to make the same adjustment Lindor did, changing leagues. So if he comes here August 31st, Michael, then what if those first couple of months he's getting adjusted and doesn't contribute as much?
That would be a problem.
You know, because that was when we had Alex Rodriguez on the Clubhouse Confidential. He said that maybe Lindor's struggles was just adjusting. So it maybe takes about a month. All right, well, now that takes you through September. And if you're battling for a playoff position, that could end up costing you. So, and then are you obligated to then sign him at the end of the season?
Yeah, I would think you'd have to be.
Yeah, and so then that's going to cost a pretty.
And then you put yourself in the same situation as the Mets did with Lindor. You're almost like forced to give him whatever he wants.
Hey, and I heard the grind it out thing. We've talked about this before, Michael. I don't know if the grind it out philosophy really works in this day and age. See pitch, hit pitch. Best pitch you might get is the first pitch. Because you take a look at some of the swings that they have once they fall behind by two strikes, Michael. You know, they're swinging out of pitches out of the zone anyway. So, you know, if you get that first pitch fastball, club it. That's what I'm seeing while I'm watching baseball, Michael. I don't see a lot of guys just, you know, waiting for their pitch or trying to work the count and get on base and get the starting pitcher out of there. Starting pitcher's going to get himself out of there. And if you hit him hard enough, you're going to knock him out no matter how many pitches he throws.
And you know who's made an adjustment like you want him to? Judge.
Yeah.
Judge usually works the count to 3-2. He's been jumping on pitches early in the count because that might be the best pitch you see.
That's it. Because that's, you know, if you get that, I'm telling you, watch baseball. That get it over first pitch strike is a killer. Because guys are going to jump on that. I saw it in the Giant Padre series. You know, the Giants bullpen's not great, Michael. It's actually like it's okay, but not great, and that's probably going to be their downfall, even though they're in first place. But they've got a lot of kids that are like, just, you know, throw it over the plate, get that first strike. All right, I'll take that and I'll drive it 400 feet. You know, because that's the best pitch. Because if I take it and it's a strike, I'm immediately down in the count, which gives the pitcher the chance to throw those filthy sliders to make you chase. So why would you want to fall behind in the count, Michael?
It doesn't make sense. Now, this could be some level of positive news. You know, I told you about the Glaber thing, and the rule in Major League Baseball operational manual for this year is if you test positive for COVID, then you're at a minimum of 10 days, minimum. Mm-hmm. But Lindsay Adler of The Athletic is reporting. She said, my understanding is that while this is the rule, the Joint Committee has cleared vaccinated asymptomatic people sooner than 10 days with multiple negative tests. So we'll see if he's cleared.
Multiple negative tests.
Right. So if he gets like three or four negative tests in a row, even if it's before 10 days, would they allow him to come back? Although the rule clearly states that it would be a situation where if you test positive, it has to be 10 days.
Well, I mean, the CDC pivoted. Why kid in baseball?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I got to say, remember yesterday, Don, you and I didn't have exactly like a really optimistic reaction to the news of vaccinated people don't have to wear masks.
Right.
I had my first encounter with of why it's problematic today.
Why?
I wish the CDC could have just kept their mouth shut. 3 days ago, they said, oh, you don't need masks outside. Could we, like, enjoy that for a couple weeks and let people ease in to normalcy? Because today I'm at the airport, and still 99.9% of people in the airport are going to wear masks. It's kind of just become common courtesy. So I see some random pilot who has his mask just down around his chin, and he's interacting with everyone else, and every single other person's wearing a mask. I was like, hey, dude, your mask is down. He's like, I know. I was like, oh, you want to pull it up? No.
You said this to a pilot?
Yeah, and I said, you know what? You're a nozzle. Oh, I didn't say nozzle. I said where nozzle comes from, Don.
Yes.
So was this your pilot? Because that's not really a good idea.
Well, listen, if he's willing to take down the whole plane for that, then it is what it is. But no, it wasn't my pilot. It was by security. And I'm not saying I'm right for catching an attitude. I get it. The rules are now what the rules are. But my point is, by making this rule, and it's going to be in baseball too, there's just going to be so much confusion about what are we even doing anymore.
Well, those are diamond notes and pilot notes brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. Yankees start a series against the Orioles, who the Mets just played, and the Mets start a series against the Rays, who the Yankees just played. So we'll break it down. The Knicks have two more games. We'll give you all the permutations on how they could be the fourth seed, and it doesn't seem that difficult, but I think it's a little bit of a long shot. But we'll break it all down for the people. We're going to talk to Doc Gooden at 4 o'clock. 25 years ago today, Gooden pitched his no-hitter for the Yankees against Seattle. Pretty amazing. It's 25 years.
Yeah, that really that That hit different in a negative way, if that's even possible.
If you want it to hit even more different?
Well, yeah.
Quarter century.
It's just incredible. I knew where I was. Irritated the heck out of me.
Yeah, too bad. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So listen up, Jet fans. Starting next week, 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score tickets to the Jets' home opener live at MetLife Stadium. DCR and this show, The Michael Kay Show, will be giving away a pair of tickets each day next week. Now, we'll also select one of those winners to be upgraded to Jet season tickets.
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and, of course, our good friends at the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium are on sale now. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. You know, sometimes you make mistakes on radio. So I have a computer screen to my right for those that are listening on radio. And on the computer screen is what we call the call screen. So I can call up calls there. And then we have the wide orbit, which has all the cuts. And every now and then there's a thing that pops up in the middle of the screen, both screens, that I have to hit cancel to get it out of the way so I can see it. So that happened during the commercial. Don and Peter probably weren't listening at that point. And just as I was about to hit cancel, it disappeared. Hmm. So then I hit the wide orbit screen. Well, why don't you listen and see what happened?
Shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game.
Now it's time to discover
where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
The only thing that would have been better is if it was a live read. But that was.
Oh, that is great. You know what? Stay tuned. Listen to our commercials because that's how we make our money, and you might get entertained like that.
Wow. That reminds me of when we were having that serious interview and Peter dropped something in there. That was the Hal Steinbrenner, right?
No. Well, there was the Hal Steinbrenner.
Yeah, that was one.
And then who was the television director that passed, Michael?
Well, that was very.
Oh yeah, Bill Webb. Yeah,
and I accidentally hit something.
It was that. Well, that was a really, really bad choice.
Well, listen to Peter interrupting Hal.
That's going to be a big part of this, but we're excited.
And do the injuries worry you? You've got Hicks. You've got what was that, Peter?
I was doing work on the computer.
Okay.
And then, of course, we had Buster Olney on, and somebody—I think Peter hit the franchise history, and then Buster answered it. Was that Tom Verducci? No, it was Verducci.
It was Verducci.
If we had that one, that was brilliant.
Yeah,
Verducci actually respond to it as if it was a question.
Also, underrated moment on the show. I want to give credit where credit is due. The other day when we were talking, Don, about Michael being a creep,
right?
Anthony pulled out a drop we hadn't heard in so long that really made my day. The Michael K going, "I am not an animal," which I had not heard in years. It was so appropriate.
I can't see. Why don't you play the Verducci one, Andrew?
For us as fans, any baseball fan, not just a Yankee fan.
It's a historic team.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think if he were healthy, he'd be on the roster. I think it's that simple.
And Verducci just accepts, I'm on the air with a blithering idiot. And he's just saying things. I'm going to just go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, let's just close it out with the mistake that started this before we take some phone calls. This just happened because I have fat fingers.
Shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game.
Now it's time to discover
where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
What a professional outfit. I mean.
Really?
We are doing good stuff here.
Really good stuff. We've really hit our stride, I'll tell you that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Greg in Connecticut. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
I just want to talk about the Yankees' left field position. I think they're in trouble in left field. I don't think they could survive the year with them two guys. in the catching position. So,
well, I mean, I think they could survive catching, Greg. I really do, because the two of them will hit home runs. So right now they have 9 home runs combined. So even if they hit under 200 and they give you 25 home runs combined or 30, you live with that. And there aren't a lot of good hitting catchers in baseball. But they cannot survive a corner outfield spot, not producing, not hitting home runs, not driving in runs, and hitting 150. They can't. Clint Frazier's better than this. I don't know what's going on. Clint Frazier's better than this, and Brett Gardner's back of his baseball card does not indicate that he's this player. Now, he's older, so sometimes the back of the baseball card has to change, but the left field is troubling right now. It really is. But, you know, my answer when everybody said, well, they have to make a change, I go, well, okay, tell me what. And what is the change? I mean, there's a 40-man roster. That's it. And most of the 40-man roster, the guys that are not on the 26-man Major League roster are pitchers. So you have an Esteban Florial who's doing well at AA. Is he ready? So who's the outfielder you're bringing up? So you almost have to dance with who you brought to the prom and hope that they turn around. You hope. And
listen, 37 games is a lot, but it's not a season. So they can turn it around. But you'd have to get Elias or somebody to look up. Have the Yankees recently ever gone through like a 40-game slump like this at any time during the course of the season?
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have. But, I mean, this team does, you know, it makes its money on hitting, and they're not hitting. So in 20 of the 37 games, they've scored 3 runs or fewer. Now, if you want to be calmed a little bit, one's hitting. No one in baseball's hitting.
But
they're not hitting this bad. I mean, yeah, the numbers are way down, but the Yankees shouldn't be in the bottom third in offense.
See, it's all relative. Like, the numbers I gave you are against a league in which offense is way down. But they are amongst the worst of it down, except the home runs and the on base. So they're hitting home runs. Only 3 teams have hit more, and their on base is very good. But it adds to the frustration because they're not hitting well with runners in scoring position, so they're leaving them stranded. So what good is the on base if there's nobody to get you hit? Unless you plan to walk 4 times, Michael, even if you're selective and make the pitcher work and get on, somebody down the line's got to get a hit to take advantage of all this.
You've got to have big numbers with runners in scoring position, and a guy who has led baseball since he put on pinstripes, DJ LeMahieu, he has not hit at a 370 level. I think that's the number he's had since 2019. That's not what he's doing this year. And that's why he doesn't have double-digit RBIs. And that's a little bit of the problem as well. Let's go to Sal in Long Island. Sal.
Michael, Dom, Peter, how you guys doing today?
Good, Sal. How you doing?
A couple of quick things, Michael. First, Peter, I want to apologize for a couple of days ago, that comment I made about helicopter and pitches, photography. I'm sorry, brother. I don't want to get you upset.
That was a beautiful comment. Sal, don't you dare apologize. It was a beautiful comment. It was funny. It was topical. I loved it.
It was just fine.
Well, yeah, but I seen Peter's face, and I got upset because I love you guys. You know, the Nets have their 3. You 3 are mine, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you, Sal.
But let me get to my point, Michael, about the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just frustrated. I mean, I know it's 2021 baseball, but why can't Rochella put down a bunt? You're not hitting. Judge leaves off with a double. You got him at third. After Sanchez
Sal, you're down 4-0. You don't bunt him over to third. You want to score multiple runs there. He's your cleanup hitter.
I understand. Michael, I understand that. But they're not hitting at all.
He has reached base in 21 consecutive games. He came into the game with a .294 average. Sal, absolutely.
Oh, no, I know his average is up.
What would bunting do there? I'm frustrated, Michael. I know you're frustrated, but that doesn't make sense. It's the 6th inning, and you want your cleanup hitter to bunt over Aaron Judge. So give away an out, put him at third, and there's a sack fly. All of a sudden, it's 4-1. That's not making sense, Sal.
But think about what he said. All right?
Call back and apologize for that later.
Judge leads off with a double. You bunt him over to third, sacrifice fly, right, brings Judge home. Okay, now it's 4-1. Now there's 2 outs, nobody on. They get the next out. Now, all right, so you did all that for 1 run?
Yeah, you don't do it.
No, you play for the big
inning.
Yeah, when you get a leadoff double, you play for the big inning. Now, if it's 1-0, all right, then maybe. But again, you're passing the baton to who?
No, but you're passing it over to somebody else. How do you know that guy's going to get it?
Gary Sanchez is who you're passing the baton to.
Yeah, so come on. You're better off just swinging away.
Peter, I have to admit to something.
Okay, go ahead.
I slipped into Natalie's DMs just to, you know, tell her what a good job she did with the photography.
Whoa, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I said, I just want to tell you, you're really, really talented.
Wow. Don, it's getting worse every day.
You didn't do that, did you?
I did.
When she heard, you not even know she was in the photographer. We had to tell you.
Right. And then I ignored the other pictures, and I looked at the photography. Yeah.
Oh, my. Was there a response?
That's between Natalie and I.
Well, that's even more uncomfortable. Well,
Don, I just wrote, did Michael really DM you? He says he did. She said, hmm. She said, LOL, let me see.
All right, let's break and see what she answers when we get back right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
My love. Welcome back to the show, everybody. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So what did the Natster say?
She said that you're trolling me. That was a troll. That was, as Andrew said, Michael leaning in to the creep that he is. He knew it would play, Don, because it's very possible. But he, in fact, did not do it.
That's the weird fact that either one of you, right, would think that I could do something so despicable tells you how our relationship has deteriorated.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. When you said what you said, I actually didn't think it was despicable. I thought it was a funny thing to make fun of you for, but I actually did not have it take issue with it.
That I had slid into her DMs.
Well, people use the word slide into the DMs. It makes it sound like something's really going on.
Let me tell you what. If I slid into her DMs, okay, I would not be talking about the pictures that she took. I'd be talking about the fire pit picture. That's what I'd be asking about, okay?
Okay, well, all right. Well, then you admit it. Then you are someone who's not capable of sending a message to someone's girlfriend.
Now, all of it's been very uncomfortable, all right? But she started following me, so I followed back. Did she start following Michael?
I don't know. Did she?
Well, you would know better than I would.
No, I don't know who follows me. I'll check.
It pops
right
up. Well, when you were drooling over her pictures, did you happen to notice that she followed you?
Nope.
That you didn't notice.
She follows me, but I don't follow her. So I'll follow her right now.
So here's the thing: she doesn't have a kick coming then, you know, because she follows you. So she followed you the same time she followed me.
I'm sure she would not be offended if he DM'd and complimented her photo work. If he complimented the fire pit photo that he keeps referring to, I think that would be very creepy.
If I DM'd her and complimented the fire pit photo, by the way, everybody, give it a look. It's amazing. You should do what Alex should do to Ben Affleck to me. That's what you should do.
I agree.
That would be divorceable between the two of us, where we talk on the air and never, ever talk off the air.
That's true. That is a different circumstance than the Alex situation, which I'm standing pat on.
Clown. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chris in Staten Island. Chris.
Michael, Don, Peter, how's everything going?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
Doing good. So, not the Yankee outfield situation. One of these days, you have to figure that they're going to put John Call on left field, right? Even though you worry about his health, one of these days, they're going to have to throw him out there.
Right. I don't think they will, though.
So, not at all.
I mean, maybe one game, but, I mean, like on a steady basis, Chris, I can't see it happening.
Just to even break up what's going on between Clint and Garner. Because, you know, there's a lot of heat coming their way, understandably so. But,
all right, so let's say they put, you know, let's talk this through, Chris. Let's say they put Stanton in left field. Who DHs then?
I mean, it gives you room for when Glaber comes back. put Gleyber at short.
Right.
Put DJ at first. DJ at first, maybe DH Voit. Gives you options with Voit. With Voit at least.
No. But then who's playing second? Odor?
And when Odor comes back, because you figure he's come back soon too, no?
Chris, I would love to see him play in the outfield. I don't think they're going to risk it. He's so important to them offensively. Look at the numbers they have, and then look at what he's contributed. And I can't see them do. Now, James Smythe, who does unbelievable research work for us at YES, he and Jeff Quagliata, he writes that the Yankees lead the majors in walk rate, 11.7%. They have a better-than-average strikeout rate, 23.9% to Major League Baseball's 24.2%. They chase fewer pitches outside the strike zone, 22.4%, than every team other than the Dodgers. And they're in the majors' top four in hard hit rate, 43.2%, average exit velocity, 89.8%, and barrel rate, 9.6%. Maybe it's just a matter of time. See that's now people will say, well, don't the analytics people see that they're not hitting? But they see the numbers that James is throwing up there too. But I'd be hard pressed to say that those numbers apply to Mike Ford, Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, and Brett Gardner. I haven't seen that many hard hit balls. I've seen them chasing pitches out of the strike zone. So those are the guys that really are problematic.
But this team is built to that, like, John Sterling circular lineup where the starting pitcher can't take a breath. He's got plenty of breathers in this lineup, plenty. So Michael, will they ever get to that? Will they ever get to where everybody's heading?
I mean, that's the hope, but usually that doesn't work.
But that's the way they're built, right? That's the whole idea is you can't let everybody potentially can hit home run. Everybody can get you. Well, even if some guys start to hit, other guys have to hit too. Otherwise, you'll pitch around the guys that can hit.
Yeah.
So you need to have more consistency. Now, I don't think they're going to be in the lower third of every statistical important category all year long, but will be half as good be enough when the pitching kind of comes back down to earth a little bit, which I think will. I mean, this pitching's been amazing.
Off the charts, great.
So, but would you expect that to continue throughout the year, especially like we mentioned yesterday, that three members of your rotation likely will not be seeing starts every 5 days in the second half of the season?
I mean, you're certainly rooting against that, but, I mean, the odds would tell you that they're probably not going to take the ball every 5 days because, you know, three of the guys in the rotation combined for one inning of work last year.
Right, and so you know that's usually you don't jump from not pitching to going out there and throwing 220 innings the next year. So now they have Severino coming back, right? Where's Garcia now in the pecking order? He can join the rotation, right?
Yeah, he's down in the minors. He's healthy, yeah.
And they certainly can go out and get so. But you might have to replace three of the pitchers, you know, in August and September that are really a major reason why you're doing so well.
You know what I think it's time for?
Hmm.
I think it's time for our good friend Morty.
There you go.
Morty! What's up, Morty?
Well, a couple of things. You certainly covered all the bases as to where we are, and where we are is not good. Watching last night's nightmare, when I think about the joy I had in watching Gerrit Cole pitch on Wednesday night, makes it all the worse. Here's a guy that went out Wednesday night, cared about his performance, cared about winning, cared about giving his best and leaving it all on the field. And then I got to watch these guys show up and play yesterday against a guy that can't hit, that can't break a pane of glass with his fastball. Now, there are certain things that affect performance. It doesn't matter if Peter is managing the New York Yankees, or it's the Michael Kay Show, or Don LaGreca has a saloon somewhere on Park Avenue. It ends and begins with management. The New York Yankees are not playing like Yankees. If I were Mr. Steinbrenner, I would have his general manager walk into the locker room and say, you know something, fellas? You're going to suit up and you're going to put on a baseball suit with pinstripes on it. That means you're a New York Yankee. and you damn well better go out and play like it. Otherwise, we're going to ship you to Cincinnati or Pittsburgh where nobody gives a damn. Their performance has been uninspired, lazy, and without passion. If Aaron Hicks can't run faster down to first base, I don't need him anywhere. If Sanchez can't run a little harder to first base, I don't need him catching. It's just that simple. Why do you think the Michael Kay Show is so good, Michael? Because you respect the people that call. You don't abuse the people that call. You give everyone an opportunity to say what they say. Even if we have to put up with some of the inane stuff that you guys laugh about, like Ben Lopez yesterday or whoever you were talking about, or this broad Natalie, I don't even know who she is. But that's not the point. The point is that Aaron Boone is a hell of a nice guy. He's got a wonderful family, and he's done a wonderful thing with a couple of children he's added to his family. I don't think he can manage me anymore, okay? I don't think he can manage this team anymore because they don't take him seriously. The players don't take him seriously, and that's why we get the performance we get in large measure. I understand he only puts the names on a scorecard. These guys got to go out there and play, okay? He can't play for them. But at some point, somebody's got to take responsibility for what goes on the field, and that's his responsibility. If he can't do the job, if he can't get these guys to hustle and to put out and to care and to do what has to be done to win, then I don't need him there.
Well,
I need a bigger number in the run column when the game is over. That means I won.
But
I really don't care a hell of a lot what goes on before the game was over.
There's a couple of things you're saying here. So, I mean, you're disgusted, Morty, by the way they play. They're a game out of first place. So, I mean, let's
not enough. That's not an excuse. I'm sorry.
It is an excuse. You're trying to be the best team in your division, and the Red Sox are slightly ahead of you. So if they had won yesterday, that would be different. Yesterday was a terrible game. I give you that. Now, in terms of Aaron Boone and the front office work in a collaboration. I think the players respect him. I think they play hard for him. He can't hit for them. It's not lack of hustle that makes them not hit, Morty. They're just not hitting. They want to hit. This is the one sport that the harder you try, the more you fail. You can't want to hit more. Everybody that goes up there, just on a selfish level, wants to hit. I'm not blaming it on Aaron. This isn't Aaron Boone. This is the way this organization's put together. It's collaborative. This is coming from up top. They all work together. They come to agreements on certain things. You think that Aaron Boone didn't want to put Luke Voit up at that point? But he's told by the performance people, no, he can't be in the field today. We got to give him a day off. He had knee surgery, played 2 days in a row. We got to give him a day off.
I had one major takeaway from that phone call from Morty.
He called Natalie a name, right?
No, he's talking about J-Lo. He had
No, and he said also that brought Natalie. I don't know who she is.
Oh, he said.
I think so, yes.
Is that what he said?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, then I misunderstand it, because after he said Ben Lopez, I thought he meant he did not even know who Jennifer Lopez was.
You may not.
What the hell? And that was the big takeaway for me. But if it was Natalie, that's slightly more understandable.
Baseball stinks.
Do you have that cut, Andrew, what he said about Natalie or not? Not yet, but we'll have it.
Yeah, I thought it was J-Lo he was talking about.
No, he was. And then he said, he laughed through the inane things that we do because we're respectful.
Right. Got it. I appreciate that, Morty. Man, Morty's approach to baseball. I wonder, now, do you guys think that he is a Yankees fan who's ever satisfied?
Yes, I mean, I do. I do. But if they win, he's satisfied.
But there is that whole we're the New York Yankees thing, which...
It gets you into trouble, Don.
Well, it gets you into trouble because, listen, I really don't think there's anything that extraordinary about this team above everybody else in recent years. I mean, if we're talking about the Yankees of the core four and four championships in 5 years, but, you know, I think the way baseball's built right now is that you don't have that. We're the Yankees, we're just going to show up and win.
I would question in what sport you ever consistently over a, you know, multi-year, decade time frame, you can really hold people to, we're the so-and-sos. Well, this is what we do.
The Yankees are still that because they're consistently good and never bad every year.
Yeah,
putting on a uniform is a magic elixir.
Right, just the whole idea of we're two games out of first place –
three games above 500. Not good enough. You're 37 games into the season. Not good enough. Oh, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm sorry, not every ride is going to be a smooth one, and they certainly haven't put themselves in a position where they're out of it. God, what would happen to a Morty or any of these other Yankee fans if you had to live through a 90-loss season for a couple of years? Like a lot of teams when they rebuild. Yankees rebuild and retool and still go out there and win 100 games. And listen, I'm frustrated too, and you should be frustrated because I think this team should be better. But think about it. Three games above 500, two games out of first place. And this is the reaction?
Let's take a quick time out. We'll revisit. A lot of people want to talk. 1-800-919-3776. Doc Gooden's going to join us at 4 o'clock right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, this is going to bring a smile to Don's face, I promise you. All right? You know what happened in 1978 on this day, Donnie?
So this is May 14th, 1978.
I'll give you a big clue. It involved one of your favorite players growing up.
His favorite players growing up.
Ed Hospodar.
Was this the day that Seaver had the consecutive strikeouts?
No, I'll tell you. Ready?
Yeah.
Playing for the Cubs, Dave Kingman had 3 home runs and 8 RBIs at Dodger Stadium to beat the Dodgers. After the game, KLAC reporter Paul Olden, who's the public address announcer at Yankee Stadium.
Bad guy.
Asked Tommy Lasorda what he thought of Dave Kingman's performance. And unfortunately, we're a family radio show. I would suggest all of you go to YouTube and just look this up. It's one of the unbelievable tirades, and really Paul Olden did not deserve it. Lasorda was just it was like low hanging fruit, and he went nuts. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever hear.
You know, it's right up there. Not quite as good as the Lee Elia.
It's close.
Another one you should search and find, which is terrific. But it's right. It's very close.
In retrospect, Don, though, you're happy that it happened.
Oh, absolutely. It was like a retro godsmack. I don't know what the phrase would be for like anticipating that you were going to be a bad guy to some innocent person later on in life, and it'll all balance itself out.
It didn't do anything. Don's overreacting.
Remind us, Don.
I don't want to be yelled at by saying he kept saying I was mispronouncing his name.
Don't talk to me that way.
And he got in my face about it, and I wasn't mispronouncing his name.
I was making an face dead.
He came into to FAN, and he's like, "You're Don LaGreca. You're mispronouncing my name." I said, "Well," and I was young, and I thought maybe I legitimately was, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He's like, "Well, say it." I said, "You're Paul Olden." No, it's Paul Olden. I said, "Yeah, Paul Olden." No, it's Paul Olden. And I said, "Paul Olden," and he smacks the table. He punches the table. He's like, "You're mispronouncing my name." And wow. Again, I'm a kid. I just started as a fan, so I'm like really nervous. So, listen, if that had happened today, he'd be dropped right on his head. I mean, right feet dangling right on his head. But I was nobody at the time, so I'm like, really, I listen back, everything's fine. And everybody I talked to said, "Well, he's a bad guy. Don't worry about it." And I've been proven right. So, best of luck to you.
I would have punched you square in the forehead.
Well, I'm not mad about it anymore.
Doesn't
things
sound
have
like
on.
It, right, Pete?
I think everybody progressed in the direction they should have.
Wow.
So it all worked itself out, but he was a bad guy, and I won't forget it.
Moments like that, when you're young in the business and someone is rude to you, it never goes away.
The guy just wanted his name pronounced correctly. Peter, come on.
It sounded
Do not
like
defend that. Him even in joking, Michael.
I think Don pronounced it right. I once called there was a famed DC sports talk host named Don Geronimo. I've
Real name?
Him before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did a really popular show for many years in DC called the Don and Mike Show. Very interesting show.
That's what Don wants this show to be named.
So Peter, you're saying is it can be done.
And it was a very unique and interesting show, actually. The style of it's hard to even explain. But I wanted to get into the talk side of radio, and I didn't know how to. And someone recommended, they said, you know what you should do? Call Don Geronimo. I worked for Infinity. He worked for Infinity. Give him a call. I called him. I said, hey, you know, I'm my name's Peter Rosenberg. I'm 22 years old. I'm trying to blah, blah, blah. I really would like to do this. He literally said, I've got my own problems, kid, and hung up the phone on me.
Oh.
And a few years later, when I started working at that radio station, the same station as him, I was relentless on my hatred of him until he eventually got me fired. But he ended up doing middays in Sacramento, and I do two shows in New York. Don, it all works itself out, doesn't it?
See, it all balances out.
And I'm the guy with the laminated list.
Vindication!
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so the Knicks were down by 17 yesterday to San Antonio, and you figure, you know what? It makes sense. After the tough loss and the long road trip, 11 days on the road, West Coast, the whole deal, they came out flat. You give them a break. Well, they wouldn't allow it, and they won the game. And they are still very much in play, and here's how it has to work out for them to be the fourth seed. So assuming that Atlanta wins in Houston, Atlanta's been playing great, the Knicks would need to win their final two games to have a shot at finishing fourth in the East. They'd also need Miami to lose one of its final two games. And the Heat close the season at Milwaukee and at Detroit. Obviously, the game that they have to lose is at Milwaukee. So let's say Miami loses to Milwaukee. The Knicks can finish in fourth if they win their final two games against Charlotte and against Boston. Now, this is something you should note. The Knicks own the tiebreaker over Atlanta. But Miami owns the tiebreaker over the Knicks. And if the Heat, the Hawks, and the Knicks all finish with the same record, while Atlanta would get the fourth seed because it would win the Southeast Division, Miami would finish fifth because it owns the tiebreaker over the Knicks, and the Knicks would finish sixth and play either. Well, it could be any of the three because the Sixers still haven't clinched number one, but it looks like it would be Milwaukee. So that's it. Those are the permutations on how the Knicks would finish with the fourth spot. Correct me if I'm wrong. It looks like they can't really finish fifth.
Doesn't sound like it.
Right.
Now, the question is for that Bucks-Heat game, will the Bucks need the game?
They might need the game to move to second ahead of the Nets.
Just punching up the standings here and to see if. Now, when is that game? Is that tonight?
Saturday.
I don't know what it is with NBA.com. It is always so slow. Still waiting for the standings anyway. So that would be because if they don't need it, Michael, I don't know if they're going to kill themselves if they're stuck.
I think they do need it.
Yeah, just need to find out how far behind they are. So they're one back of Brooklyn. But I guess what would be the situation on Saturday? And who has the tiebreaker?
The Bucks have the tiebreaker.
I think it's the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, if that's going to mean something, that's going to be tough for the Heat to beat the Bucks, right?
But it's going to mean something to Miami, so they're going to want to play hard.
And Miami over the last 20 games, if you guys look at Miami's full season schedule, I recommend pulling it up. You've never seen a full season schedule that looks like this, wins and losses. It's just these streaks of W's and L's throughout the year. But over the last 15-20, it's a lot of W's.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out because we told you in 1978 Dave came in with the three home runs leading to the Lasorda tirade. But in 1996, 25 years ago, Doc Gooden pitched a no-hitter against a really, really, really good Seattle offense. And there's so many backstories to that as well. So we'll talk to Doc in just a moment. Then after that, R.J. Barrett of the Knicks will join us at 4:30. Big 4 o'clock hour. Please enjoy it with us right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, listen up, Jet fans. I want you to get closer to the speaker because this is big stuff. Starting next week, 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score tickets to the Jets' home opener live at MetLife Stadium. So DCR, our great 5 to 8 a.m. show, and this show, which is on from 2 to 6:30, will be giving away a pair of tickets each day next week. That's we'll right. also select one of those winners to be upgraded. Get this, closer, to season tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Season tickets.
That's a big deal.
That's a big giveaway. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium on sale now. So lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season.
And the beauty is you're not on the hook for a $30,000 PSL.
I'm sure they wanted you to mention that. Jack Curry, my colleague at the Yes Network, tweeted out that Aaron Boone said he is not, quote, committed to playing Stanton in the outfield, but it is an option he is considering. He said Stanton is continuing to work out in the outfield, but Boone is wary of springing a nine-inning game on a player who's DH'd all year. Jack says stay tuned.
I got to tell you, if you stick Stanton in, where would they put him?
Left.
I mean, do they ever watch other sports and see how much harder it is, the wear and tear on a body? How much work do they think one does in left field? You could smoke a cigarette during the game.
But I don't think, maybe I could be wrong, Michael, it's not wear and tear. It's that, can he play the position? Is he going to mess things
up? That's not what he said.
No, I think he can play the position. I mean, he played the position his whole career in Miami.
I mean, what he's saying
played
is,
right.
What they're saying is they're not sure that you can all of a sudden make him an everyday player in the field. And I mean, Stanton's an incredible athlete. It's not like he's not working out. Well, it's not like he's not running.
But so you have to be incredibly fragile then.
But is he?
I don't know. They must think he is, or they think that what he does is made that much more difficult by going out there and playing in the field. But Peter's right, Michael. I mean, how many balls are going to get hit to you? Nobody's asking him to dive. You don't have to run headfirst into the wall.
I think it's just on your feet for nine innings, hours.
But you know how absolutely dumb that sounds. I mean, to the average Joe, right? And then, like Peter said, other sports, basketball, you're running up and down the court. Hockey, you're skating around with a stick. Somebody's belting you into the boards. You know, football players getting tackled. Standing in the outfield.
You know what? I might have to make a phone call. Because I'm supposed to DJ that wedding in a couple months in Jamaica, Don. And when you DJ a wedding, you're standing up for 5 hours. I might need to.
I'm going to get you a director's chair so you don't have to stand.
I need a few weeks at least, though, to ease my way into standing for that long.
Peter, I'm a 53-year-old man.
Not in great shape.
You're right. Not great. But, you know, I've lost weight. I'm 230 pounds.
You look terrific.
All right. And when I do a hockey game, I stand during the whole game. I don't sit, I stand. Do I have to take an Advil after the game? No. So I'm sure that they know a lot better, and they're probably right that there is some strain to the body that can affect his swing because they know much better than we do. But I'm just saying, do you know what that sounds like? That a professional athlete can't stand for too long.
I'll let you in on a little secret. So Don stands throughout the game. I will not move out of my seat unless I have to go to the bathroom. I'm so stationary. Doctors have told me it's very unhealthy. So I sit throughout the show. I sit for a game. So 8 hours a day I'm sitting. I'm heading toward death.
What? You don't even, between innings, you don't even stretch?
No.
Why not?
I don't feel like I need to.
But you should.
I just feel like I have more energy and more into it when I'm standing, and then I can kind of lean in. I just feel more comfortable standing. Get this, Peter. I'll walk from the garden to the parking garage. No cart,
I'm not carried. I actually with a bag.
With wow.
And so far, so good. Knock on wood.
Tim Ramsdale just tweeted out, Dom will get the call from ESPN the same day you get into the hall. He'll have to miss your induction for a game.
Now, that would be ironic. I didn't.
And you know
that.
He would.
When I think about Stanton returning to the outfield, it just reminds me of how incredible baseball players are. Don, did you play any outfield?
Yeah, I played everywhere.
I found outfield to be so incredibly difficult. I don't know how they do it on a major league level.
What do you mean?
I find judging a baseball very hard. I never was comfortable at it. I hated it. When I moved to the infield my junior and senior year, I was so much more comfortable because in the infield, you're able to at least say, hey, if a ball's coming at me hard, I know I can at least get down in the proper position. I may take it off the chest. I may take it off the face, but I can block the ball. I can get aggressive. In the outfield, it's like batting. You can't get over-aggressive. You just have to be able to read the ball, which I could not do.
You know who's also not in the lineup today? We didn't even mention it. Urshela, who's been one of their best hitters, not in the lineup. Remember, when he was running to third yesterday, it looked like he was hobbling. And, you know, I think that knee's still bothering him. So he's out of the lineup. Hicks is out of the lineup. Gleyber Torres, who Boone said should return real soon. That's his quote. He's out of the lineup. I mean, just wow. So now, even if you wanted to give Stanton and Judge a day off, I don't think you can.
Oh, no.
All right, it's a good way to head into the weekend, going to the Grifter in Connecticut. Grifter, you better be better than you were last time because it was a disappointment.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Michael.
You should be. What do you got today?
I have two things.
Okay.
First of all, do we know the latest on Odor? Because isn't he eligible to come out tomorrow off the IL?
It's probably 10 days. I don't know if he's ready yet.
Okay. And also, Peter, because I'm a Heat fan, I know why my Heat were not what they were. They were not good early on in the year. I told Andrew this. We had Bam in protocol early on. We had Jimmy in protocol. We had Gorn in protocol. We had mostly half of our team was in COVID protocols earlier in the year. And then they got hurt, so they really never really got in the flow of things. Then we got back, so we really got in the flow of things before the All-Star break and then after the All-Star break. So now we're back. We're finally back in the flow of things. I'm not saying we're going to be a threat and we're going to knock off the Nets because I think the Nets are the kings of the East. But I'm just saying we're better than what we were back earlier in the year.
Important question, though, and I think that's a good point, by the way, and I think it's a fair assessment. I just want to know what you're doing this weekend.
I don't really have any plans this weekend. I'm going to probably go outside, get some nice fresh air, because I think it's supposed to be nice this weekend.
So just a little stroll?
I walk around my block a lot. I really do. I listen. I've done it during the weekdays listening to you guys.
Ever on the weekend, do you consider maybe relaxing with a little toke of the old Bubonge?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Okay.
No.
What about an adult beverage?
Well, I'm not big on some beer, but I've done, the Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, sure you have.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's real good. I love those. And you know what I've been thinking for so long? Don, you know a lot of those shows on ABC that you watch, I watch the same thing you watch.
You do?
How about that, Donnie?
Good shows, right?
I do.
What's your favorite one?
Goldberg's.
A Million Little Things is an awesome show. It's
terrific
really
show.
Good.
A Million Little
show,
Things.
Goldberg's.
Don, A Million Little Things. Is that like This Is Us at Jace?
Yes. This Is Us at Jace.
Yes, it is.
That was the original working title. This Is Us and Jace.
They said that literally probably is what it was.
Yeah.
It's like This Is Us. Why is it different? Well, it's not that different.
You know what, Griffin, when you take the walk around the block, put a little ankle weights on, you know, get the heart rate working.
I get the heart rate working while I watch the games. I don't sit down when I watch the Yankees or I watch my Heat or I watch the Capitals. I really walk for most of the time.
Wow.
Have you ever considered, Griff, have you ever watched any of your teams in the nude?
No. I know you asked Andrew if he's watched the Sixers in the nude.
It's a stupid question, no, right, Griff? I mean, why would anybody be compelled to be naked watching a sport?
Griffin, it's not stupid. It will heighten the experience. I'm telling you, do it to when the Yankees playing the Orioles tonight. You're gonna watch the game?
It's a stupid question.
Are you gonna watch the game tonight? It's on Pix 11. Are you gonna watch the game?
Yes, I am.
All right, strip down. That's the best way to watch Yankee baseball.
Okay, I don't have my shirt on sometimes, but I'm not stripping down butt naked because then my mom might do the laundry and wonder why I'm butt naked watching the Yankee game.
Yeah, that would be strange.
Now, drinking a Mike Hard lemonade, then you get naked.
Listen, Griff. You have a good weekend, but if he's just going to take his shirt off, you're wasting your time. It's got to be everything.
Yeah, you can't be half pregnant.
Everything is free and easy when you're watching the game of your dreams.
That's how you get half pregnant, just taking your shirt off.
Just taking your shirt off. By the way, I think that was a good bounce back.
That was very good. I agree with you.
I got a steaming hot Domino's on my chest.
Good return there from Griff.
Yeah, I think you led him down the right path.
I think Mike's Hard Lemonade was what I was looking for there.
That was a very, very stern moment out of Peter. you were able to massage it right out of him.
I walk around my block a lot.
Did he say his name was Audrey? I didn't hear that.
I'd prefer, Don, if he didn't describe it the way you just did.
I'm sorry.
You know what's unbelievable, though? Let's say he's watching the game tonight, right? Listen to me, Kenny, and Meredith. Yeah. And he decides to take my advice and strip down.
Yeah.
And then mom walks in the room. And then he says it's because of us. We're going to get in trouble.
Right. And she goes,
why are you watching the game naked? Michael Kay said it heightens the experience.
I know. Why do you have a Mike's Hard Lemonade in your hand?
Don said it heightens the experience.
Wow. Love the grifter.
Wow. He's going to have a good weekend. I can tell. Yeah. I think of the twins, I think his brother has more fun. Just saying. I think his brother has more fun.
You know what? Do we remember the brother's name?
Gnoitney, I think.
We got to talk to the brother one day. Do you think the brother sounds like Griffin?
No. No one sounds like Griffin.
Michael or Don, by the way, did either of you watch The Good Place?
No, I don't watch that.
I did watch the first couple of seasons.
I got to tell you, I think I'm watching the first season. I'm finishing the first season. I think it's tremendous.
All right, well, write a review for us because we have to go and take a break because, again, we're blowing through clocks. It's unbelievable. You know, we blow through clocks so much, we should do it nude. Anyway, Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, Griffin too, right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.